utility is the principle. Or, as Srila Prabhupada often said, do the needful. When we understand that preaching is the essence, that people are suffering for lack of Krishna consciousness, that somehow or other Krishna consciousness should be brought to them, then one is prepared to do whatever is required for spreading Krishna consciousness. Just like Srila Prabhupada came to the West, which is not allowed for followers of Vedic culture. If you go outside, nowadays that rule is more or less forgotten, although in the Madhva Sampradaya, one of their sannyasis went overseas recently, and he was sanctioned for doing so. But more or less it's become accepted that Hindus go overseas and they come back and they're still considered Hindus. They're not considered fallen. But that injunction is there that one should not cross the ocean, because it's considered that one going to such sinful places, one loses one's purity. Of course, in India now, people are committing all sinful activities. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, before Srila Prabhupada sent devotees to the West for preaching, because when Srila Prabhupada was discussing this point, he said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that his name would be preached all over the world, so if people don't go all over the world, how is it going to be done? One Vedic injunction, or one injunction, has to be dropped because of another, to fulfill another. And actually, in the case of Srila Prabhupada, there's no question of him becoming contaminated by the bad association. Rather, he purified the people of the West. When Srila Prabhupada was in the West, in the early days, before even his movement was started, he was living with Gopal Agarwal in Butler, Pennsylvania. And in their home, in the Agarwal's home, they would keep meat in the fridge. And Prabhupada also kept his bhoga, his cooking materials, in the fridge. But there's no alternative. Later on, there would be no question of having meat in the temples or any such thing. But at the time, he did what was needed. Otherwise, he couldn't have stayed. Srila Prabhupada used to say, he sometimes quoted Allen Ginsberg, who was a very influential poet in America, and actually helped to popularize Krishna consciousness among the hippie generation, because he was very favorable to Srila Prabhupada. He himself was a very sinful person. But he used to say to Srila Prabhupada that you are very conservative, because Srila Prabhupada had these principles: no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication. And Allen Ginsberg was dedicated to promoting some of the most sinful activities. So Srila Prabhupada, he would say, I'm not conservative. If I was conservative, I couldn't stay here for a moment. If you go by the actual standard of conservatism, then you shouldn't even be in the Western world. What to speak of mixing with people who are very fallen? Srila Prabhupada arranged the marriages of his disciples, although what business has a sannyasi got to do in arranging marriages? But Srila Prabhupada saw that it was necessary because the way of life is so different in the Western world that young men and women are used to just living together. Now that's coming in India. They call it, what do they call it? Live-in relationship or something. You don't know. You don't read the newspapers. It's not bad to read the newspapers sometimes, just for the sake of preaching, you see. I mean, any, what would you call educated person is aware of that this has been an issue in India for the last, what, 2 years or something. It came up in Chennai, it came in the court, some actress spoke about something like this, spoke about it, so. But that was already common in the West at that time. It was not considered proper among most people, but the hippies who were showing some interest in what Prabhupada was preaching, that was very normal for them. Now it's normal in the West. The hippies grew up and they became they're the leaders of the world now. These present, I don't know, Obama and Bush, I don't think they were hippies. Clinton was a hippie. Anyway, that generation, their values have become the values of the world. So Srila Prabhupada saw that, well, they're living together like that. It's so better than trying to do the impossible and turn these people from overnight from completely fallen into sannyasis and renunciants. Srila Prabhupada got them married. He said, live as a gentleman. If you're going to live with a woman, do so in a proper way. So that was doing the needful. It's not proper that sannyasis get involved in marriages that would generally be considered. Ramanuja actually got, he also arranged a marriage of some disciple after he took sannyas. But Srila Prabhupada he saw what was needed to spread Krishna consciousness. One example, I haven't seen this written anywhere, but I was told this. At one program, a public program, the microphone was loose. It wasn't staying in the stand, so Srila Prabhupada told one of his disciples to give his Brahmin thread, and Prabhupada tied it on with that. So, do the needful. Yukta vairagya anasaktasya vishayanya taham upayunjataha nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya mucchate. Yukta vairagya means to use everything in the world in the service of Krishna without being attached to it. So practically one can do anything for the sake of preaching. One can do anything. If you're not attached, you can do it. There are so many rules for sannyasis that it would be considered improper for sannyasis to have many young women around them. But Srila Prabhupada did. I mean, he had many young women disciples. But he didn't, he kept it. In the beginning, actually, Govinda Dasi was his servant. But later he generally traveled with men. Of course, there was no hanky panky, as you. But Srila Prabhupada saw that both men and women are coming, and women are also spirit souls. They also need to be delivered to Krishna. He wasn't a male chauvinist in the terms of feminists. So he saw that some social adjustment was required. Srila Prabhupada allowed women to stay in the ashram in separate quarters, brahmacharini ashram. Of course, he recommended marriage, but he saw the social condition was different. In India, young girls, they remain at home and they can practice Krishna consciousness in that situation. But there's no protection in the West, so Prabhupada gave some, made some adjustment like that. So this was all for the sake of preaching. If preaching is the essence, then we have to do whatever is required for preaching without niyamagraha. Niyamagraha means, it either means being too much attached to the rules and regulations for the sake of them without understanding the purpose of them, and it can also mean that not properly, just neglecting the rules. So this utility is the principle that should also not be used as an excuse just to do whatever you like. Instead of preaching is the essence, then it becomes preaching is the excuse. But one should be aware of the rules and regulations and follow them as far as possible. But the main rule is smartavya satatang vishnu vismartavya nakarhijit. Always to remember Krishna, never to forget Krishna. And to bring people to that point, there is the consideration that, what is that? First of all, bring people to Krishna consciousness. And then, afterward, all the different rules and regulations can be introduced. How does that go? I'm not remembering the Sanskrit just now. So, saravidhi nishedasya etayo eva kinkraha. All the rules and regulations are servant of this rule to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And that those two lines at the end, they also go with another injunction, which I'm just not remembering now. So somehow or other bring people to Krishna consciousness, and afterward then all the rules and regulations can be introduced. Srila Prabhupada said that anyone can come to our temple, they can join in the singing and dancing and take prasadam, but if they want to be initiated, then they have to follow strictly. Everyone's welcome to come, but if they're going to be serious, then there have to be rules and regulations to follow. But even those rules and regulations, for the sake of preaching, Srila Prabhupada was ready to bend them. Even the four regulating principles, at least one of them, in the case of Hari Kesh Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada told him to go to Russia for preaching. At that time, Russia was the evil empire, as Ronald Reagan called it, communist Russia. It was very, I don't know if it was more evil than the capitalist world, but that's what Ronald Reagan called it anyway. So it was very difficult to go to Russia for Americans, and it could be dangerous also. You could be arrested as a spy, and very difficult to do any preaching there, and very difficult to live there at all because of shortages of food and so many things. So Hari Kesh Maharaj was giving so many excuses and Prabhupada why he shouldn't go to Russia. And Prabhupada was countering them. Whatever Hari Kesh said, Prabhupada would give some. And then Hari Kesh said, there's nothing there to eat but meat. And Srila Prabhupada said, then eat meat, but you have to preach. Actually, there were other things to eat also, apart from meat. I went there in 1986, I think. There were just not many items to eat, but some. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also said that for preaching in the West, there can be a student's hostel. We can have a student's hostel and meat can be served. Because in those days, in the 1930s in England, practically no one could imagine being a vegetarian. Eating food means to eat meat. There were a few, very few. George Bernard Shaw was a vegetarian, but it was very, even when I started to become a vegetarian in the, I guess, early 1970s in England, it was considered very, very strange, crazy something very unusual, still at that time. It was just beginning to come in, to be. Now it's a very common thing. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gauged the situation that, well, if at all people are going to come, they're not going to come unless you, they're not going to stay with us so that we can speak to them about Krishna, unless we arrange for them to eat meat. So arrange meat. Similarly, when the governor of Bengal came to Mayapur, the arrangement was made with a Calcutta hotel to provide them meat, because that's what they eat. It's like in Telugu, if you say, have you taken your meal, you'll say, have you taken rice? Right? Because rice is the food, that's what everyone eats. Eating means to eat rice. So, in ancient Greek at least, that used to be, have you taken your meat? And that's how it got into the Bible, that Jesus was giving meat to eat. Because Jesus didn't speak Greek, he spoke Aramaic. So where it said that Jesus gave people food, when the Bible was written in Greek, it came out, Jesus gave them meat, because that's the word for food. So we're told. So, now it's not that we're recommending meat eating, we want to stop meat eating, but somehow or other, Krishna consciousness has to be spread. Now we don't do that. There's no need. But, that might be necessary. The point is to do whatever is required to be Krishna conscious and to bring people to Krishna consciousness. One has to be somewhat flexible, because not everyone's ready to accept everything that we do and say immediately. Again, we shouldn't be so flexible. I'll speak about that a little later. But the point is that spreading Krishna consciousness is so serious and so much required, the whole world is going to hell, that we have to do whatever is required. Just like in a war, you may undertake some tactics. All is fair in love and war. There's a saying, I think that's from Shakespeare. You can do anything to win the war. Should you tell a lie? No. If by telling a lie you could save your country, then should you tell a lie? Yeah. So, it's a war against Maya. So do whatever is required. Many times I have to lie going in and out of Muslim countries, dressed in secular clothes. Why are you coming? Tourist? Well, I guess it's not untrue. We do tour around, but not exactly a tourist. Where will you stay? In such and such a hotel? We're not going to stay in any hotel. So, like this. Is it wrong? No, it's right. We should do that. Otherwise, just for the sake of not telling a little lie, then we don't go and we don't preach. For preaching Krishna consciousness, we may have to do so many things. And actually, if all the things that went on in the history of ISKCON were revealed, then people might be shocked, because to establish Krishna consciousness in some places, some of the things that have to be done, people might be surprised. In Ramanuja's biography, it's quite open how some of his early disciples, they were very helpful in the beginning, but later on, because they were a team of thieves. So, no, not Ramanuja, that was, who is that? You should know. Tirumangai Alva. Yeah, anyway, he's famous for killing and then drowning the disciples in the Kaveri, and Then in the debate with the Jains, I believe that was Melkote, and they, Ramanuja defeated them, and they wouldn't become his disciples, so according to the agreement, 20,000 of them had to be chopped. That's not published in the English, all these things are not published in the English edition of the, that's come out through ISKCON, but that's there in the original Prapanamrita, I believe it's called. So Ramanuja did the needful. You may be shocked. Hare Krishna. Utility is the principle. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.